You're listening to
Hot Garbage.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. We are so glad you're here. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. If you're a return visitor, so great to see you. My name is Drew. Joining me, as always, is the party dude to my cool but rude, my dear friend Andy.
Herb got my wig fried like a bad perm.
Yeah, you do. How's it going, Andy?
I'm doing good, man. Having a real good night.
Yeah, I know. You're looking lively.
Fluid. Thank you.
This is one of those episodes where we're doing the intro at the beginning of the show, so you're not even as drunk and as high as you're about to be. Oh, man.
And you have no idea how drunk or high I may already be, because
I refuse to tell you.
I'm telling you now that my wife had the flu today.
Oh.
And when that happens, I follow the old Russian doctor remedy, and I start drinking hard alcohol to kill all the germs in my body. Mm-hmm. You know, they use alcohol to kill germs on surfaces and stuff in hospitals.
Sure.
I use it to kill all the things inside of my
body.
That's
just good medicine.
Yeah, so I've been drinking medicinally for hours.
And you're a carrier of the flu, so that'll be a treat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what else is going to be a treat for our listeners is this week's episode.
Because
we have our dear friends from the entire band Mane of the Cure with us here in the studio. You can hear them coughing and shuffling their hands during this very intro. They're all here. Lindy, Blaine, Sean, Corey, and even our silent partner, Nate, who plays keys in Mane of the Cure and is also making the sound happen for us this evening. They are playing their album release show here in Portland on March 9th as a part of the 7th annual ceremony of Sludge.
Damn. Yeah, that's right.
So March 9th, it's a huge lineup, including Mane of the Cure. It's their album release. But who else is on that bill that night, Blaine?
Disenchanters
closing the night.
Will.
Void Realm.
Yeah, and Glacial Fall.
So yeah, it's going to be a great night of music. If you guys like heavy music, it's a full weekend at the Tonic Lounge.
Two nights. Friday, Saturday,
March 9th and 10th, and you can catch Mane of the Cure, our guests tonight, for their album release show on March 9th. So, kick back and enjoy a rowdy mess on this week's episode of Hot Garbage.
Look at his face.
So one thing, you guys have just finished up recording an album, and you all recorded it separately. And I'm really curious to see how that process went. Someone tell me about the decision to record individually and how it was executed, like how it turned out to compare things. And
It really wasn't a decision we made, as it was one that was just made for us by the constraints of the studio.
Matter of necessity.
Yeah. So Eric, who was working at Caravan, started building his own little studio in his garage. But it was just like a little one-car garage. And there really wasn't room with the drum set up in there for more than, these two guys. Like, we couldn't have done a full band thing. So we just tracked the drums and bass first, kind of in a weekend, and then everybody added their part on after that.
Yeah.
It was actually kind of cool.
We did need Sean's help on one song.
Yeah.
We have a really long instrumental song.
Did you do that the first time, too? So, you did two?
Yeah. Both times. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Eric Lavelle.
Yeah, from the band
Hair.
Yeah.
Husk Recording.
Yeah, he did an awesome job.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we were, the other cool thing about this record was we were the first band through that space, so he hadn't even done a lot, any recording in there. So
did you do Hair Puller there? You did it at Caravan?
No, they tracked the drums at Caravan, and then the rest was done in their practice space.
Oh, okay.
So we were the first band through his studio, and it was a learning curve for everybody. So the second time was way quicker and smoother.
Yeah.
in a lot of respects, just because.
Because we did four songs, and then how many months in between we did the other four?
It was like a month, right? We finished it up, and we kind of booked the next dates and went back in and put down the other four.
Mm-hmm.
So was there ever any were there ever any disagreements about a part, and someone had to go back in, or what was the dynamic when you were talking about whether something is right or wrong?
I think all those decisions are made in the practice space, you know. It's there's a lot of, like, everybody has kind of feedback for everyone on like what their part sounds like, and we had a really good idea going in, I think, what the record was like musically was going to sound like, and then Eric put his magical touch all over it.
Eric was a big help.
But I think that do you guys think that there was any point in time where like you should go change? I think that everybody did such a good job like putting their parts down.
I mean, I feel like I could have nitpicked my own stuff a little bit, and like had I had the time, I probably would have gone back.
But I think that's true too, that we're our own worst critics, you know. So I think everybody here holds themselves to a pretty high standard.
Well, Lindy, I know you're a pretty exacting vocalist.
Right.
Sometimes when you're in the studio, it's nice to have other people to tell you that it's not, you know, as bad as you're making it out to be. How did you navigate that part of it yourself?
I have to give Eric all the credit for that. He definitely acted as producer for me when I was in the studio, because, you know, there are especially the second time. The first time I went in, I had a lot of my harmonies all worked out. But the second group of songs, I didn't have all of them. But I knew from the first experience that Eric would be able to have some input. So basically I just like went in after having my original vocals and going for the harmonies, because it's the harmonies that I always like find that you can go a million different ways.
Right.
And it just really depends on what you want for the mood. And he was really great at dialing me back, because in one of my other bands, like, we harmonize the entire time. So I always tend to do it too much. So it was nice to have somebody go, oh, you should just punctuate this spot, you know, or you should do a low harmony there as opposed to, and like, he was really great about guiding me in that way. Like, I had an idea, but it was nice to have somebody like sort of, without having all of these guys there being like, yeah, that's cool, you know. It was nice to have that help.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, before we get too much further, let's hear a song. I know you guys brought a couple tracks to play from the new album. I've heard it behind the scenes, but I'm really excited to share. What's the first track that you like to kick things off with tonight?
Should we do like Thousand Years? That's the second single.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's do All right. Thousand
this
years.
One's called A Thousand Years. And remind me of the name of the album.
Retreat of the Glaciers.
Retreat of the Glaciers by Man of the Current. We'll be right back.
Oh, man. I was on the Max the other day, the bus, actually, and I saw this very aggressive act of kindness that came off as very creepy.
Someone reached over and pulled my pants up.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very nice of him to do so. No, this old man got on the bus, and he was just saying, "Hi, how's it going? Have a good night. Oh, it's so good to see you," to this woman. And there was another woman in between who he was talking to, and he just started leaning over her, and the lady in between was like, "Hey, get back off of me. That's weird. What are you doing? You're freaking everyone out." And the guy got very mad. And then, like, a mom and her kid got on the next stop, and he stood up and was like, "How's it going? Have a good night." And she got kind of freaked out and, like, grabbed her daughter and walked by. And the lady was like, "Why are you doing that?" And they got in this little thing. And the dude was just being aggressively nice, and it came off as very creepy.
But when you're being aggressively nice, and then you're being not nice.
Yeah. Aggressive being the key term.
Yeah, it was very weird.
Yeah, the last thing you want on the bus is to be talked to.
Yeah, directly at by a weirdo.
By anybody. I don't want people to ask. It's acceptable to say, "Hey, did you hear what the next stop is?" Mm-hmm. That's as far as I'll go.
Mm-hmm. They have reader boards for that. There's no reason to talk. Really.
Exactly. No reason to talk. No reason to talk at all. And if you're being extra friendly to by a bus rider, I don't know. Makes me wary.
Yeah.
There's websites for that.
It's the failure of public transportation.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that same thing happen in the line at the grocery store before. Or just people are overly nice, but they're, like, creepy, too. Or they're, like, too nice to the cashier lady or something. And she's like, "I can't escape right now. Like, it is my job, you know?"
You've made me a prisoner of your kindness.
Yeah, and they just, like, are talking to them so much that they're like, "Okay, thank you."
I really dread it when the cashier asked, like, looks at the stuff that you have on the conveyor belt and then, like, talks about your food that you're buying or whatever. Yeah. And then, like, kind of, like, wants to know, what are you making? It's like when I go to the fucking fabric store, this old lady's always like, you know, get all this fabric.
Fabric Depot, like,
no, but I'm just, like, but it's always like, why? I'm just buying some stuff. Leave me alone.
I also don't like it when the cashier is being normal, friendly to the people because they are a prisoner there, and the person they're talking to is sort of just silent treatmenting them.
That is, I hate that. Mm-hmm.
That sucks too.
There's like an easy balance to strike of politeness.
Of course.
It doesn't take too much effort to be cordial.
No.
It really doesn't.
No. Yeah.
That's why I like to throw one random object in there. I just buy something like real weird. Like just Vaseline.
Yeah.
Like old school Vaseline. Like,
combos. The combos on the conveyor belt are the best thing. Like you just like, you know, like Slim Jims and whipped cream or whatever.
Yeah.
Seven of those like baby nasal clearing bulbs.
Yeah.
Just imagine Andy at a checkout.
I'm a sucker for those impulse buys. You guys go to Plaid Pantry on the first of the month every year or every month? Do you guys know about this? Plaid Pantry has a deal with like junk food companies. Instead of like running like coupon deals or doing something, they just get their shit really cheap. So at the beginning of the month, they'll have like really cheap, weird things like 5 of this one candy bar for $1 or like 10 packs of Stride gum for $1.66.
Are you sure it's not last month's candy today?
Yeah, right. Yeah. They're trying to clear their inventory.
It could be. But today I got like 3 packs of like Ritz like baked crackers for like 43 cents a bag.
Well, I've stumbled across that before. I know what you're talking about.
How big are these crackers?
It's normal size bags. It's just weird shit. They just always have like something weird on sale at Plaid Pantry. It's weird. I highly recommend it.
Regular shopper here.
Speaking of regular shoppers, Andy, what are you listening to these days? Are you going to play a tune?
Ooh, you know I am. This is a band from Montreal called Blue Cheese.
Ooh.
This is some like heavy bluesy like stoner rock stuff, and I love it so much. Oh, man, this iPod I'm using is cracked and sharp and broken. Okay.
My hands are bleeding.
This
is
a track called
There it goes.
Uncrowned Queen by Blue Cheese off of Reborn Into the Void. So get this shit on Bandcamp. It's really dope. We'll be right back.
Sean, I want to ask you a music question because I met you like 12 years ago,
right,
and you were holding a guitar in your hand from the moment I met you. And we were at a barbecue and you played guitar for like six consecutive hours. You basically didn't put it down. And I see you, you know, frequently now, but most of those times you're holding a guitar. But I don't know, like, when you got started. What was the first time you picked
up guitar down?
A guitar, and when did you learn to play?
And do you tuck a guitar down into a tiny bed at night?
growing up in the Dalles, my mom and dad knew some of the touring guys who, played the Gorge Circuit. I don't know. But one of these guys left his old
beat. I know you said Gorge Circuit, but I thought you said Gourd Circuit. And I thought it was like a...
Probably
like
as
a,
exciting, you know?
Like a fall farm festival that would...
It's probably out there.
The Gourd Circuit.
But no, there's...
Skiffle bands?
This
Deep Willamette Valley Gourd Circuit.
Nylon string guitar. It was just nearly impossible to play. That's why he probably left it behind. But I ended up picking it up, and I don't know what made me stick with it, because I'm just not that kind of person to really stick with something that was difficult, but I just love it. And
At what age were you when you acquired this guitar?
Probably middle school. Yeah, 15.
Do you remember the first song that you could confidently play?
House of the Rising Sun.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, nice. I actually had a guitar instructor, and he set the bar pretty high.
So you were getting arpeggiated right out of the gate.
Yeah. And having that bulky, giant, difficult to play guitar was a big part of it, just because I was, you know, it made you work harder for it. So I think I got strong hands right out of the gate.
Now, what were you listening to at the same time? Like, you're in middle school. Those are pretty formative listening years, and you're picking up an instrument. What's in heavy rotation back then?
1987, 88, so it wasn't anything of quality.
So it was late Billy Joel.
No, hair metal. The worst of the worst, too.
What's the worst of the worst?
Oh, I don't know.
Like Rat and Warrant?
Rat.
Oh, Warrant. Jackal? Do you guys like Jackal?
Sleaze Bees. I listen to bands that nobody even knows of because they were so bad.
But that's what makes you the insane guitarist you are today, Sean.
Yeah, man.
I don't know how I don't know how I play the way I do, because I really did love trash.
Nobody pings and squeals like you, you know?
Yeah, that's very true.
Plaintively.
Yeah.
Love a good ping and a squeal.
It
was funny, because, I used to carry one all the time. Like, my mom would call when I got my first apartment with our roommates, and I would, like, be in the bathroom playing my guitar half the time. Just because people couldn't bother me in that.
No, you were masturbating.
still playing.
He was definitely wanking, but it wasn't.
That's a deep cover. Like, Sean, what are you doing in there? And just like, playing with one hand, doing some sweet finger tapping.
Leave me alone, I'm finger tapping.
Open up, I gotta poop.
Ding, 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 ding. There's an eruption joke in there somewhere, isn't there?
There is. Definitely.
Nice, Joe.
Very nice.
Speaking of nice, I know you guys brought some other tracks to play. It's open season. I know, you know, there's some ceremony bands we could jam on, or we could listen to some more Man of the Curve. What else would you guys like to listen to at this particular moment?
Well, so the Retreat of the Glacier is 8 tracks. We've released 2 so far, but we brought a couple other ones that we haven't released. So we were going to play one of those tonight.
Yeah, let's play some album cuts.
Okay. So Corey wrote the entire song for this one. Well, I mean,
everybody helped, but I guess I had the first
for the ending.
I had the first riff. I guess though it was kind of weird. I guess because it's kind of true because we made this song like in reverse, sort of, where I made a bass line first, and then everybody added stuff to a bass line. And normally, we don't normally do that. No. Normally, it's like guitar or like drums or something more, and then like bass gets added to that later. But it was more of like, I just had this cool bass riff that I made, and I was like, I want everybody to like build on this. And like,
but it was more than just a cool bass riff. It was like,
well, yeah, I had like a whole
cool, yeah,
yeah.
I had a whole thing. Yeah.
You really did have like the whole song in your head.
Yeah, I knew it in my head. I just like, yeah, but I needed you guys to like
It was one of the funnest, too, because it took me like 3 years to come up with a guitar part that yeah. I was happy with.
Yeah, that was cool. I like how long it took. It was cool. It like needed to happen mm-hmm. like that organically. Slowly.
And the second yeah. part and, of like, the song, that whole yeah. thing fleshed mm-hmm. out with all of us.
Yeah, that happened really like naturally once like we figured that out. And it was all, I don't know, this is cool.
So it was a long process? You bring this riff sure. and yeah. had a pretty good skeleton, but then it was sort of piecemeal. Was that because it was a different way than you normally write? Is that what was the...
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, it forced everybody to, like, do more, like, cool stuff, I think. Like, mm-hmm. or just play differently than how they would have played.
You also kind of had, like, a completed idea presented, though, and it was hard to...
Yeah.
To add to that without taking away from it. Because it at least for me, it took a while to add to it.
Like the rhythm and everything mm-hmm. of it, yeah.
I didn't want to detract from what it was.
Cool.
Are you guys as a band, and we'll hear it in a second, but are you guys as a band, when something like that happens, are you able to communicate verbally? Or does it have to be something you just eventually just jam your way through? Because some bands, I think you can say, why don't we do it like this and this, and you can kind of explain yourself, but... If it's a different kind of songwriting, maybe you just have to sort of just tinker and walk away from it sometimes. How did you feel about that, Sean? Are you able to articulate differences?
Like, any way we can. We just like,
that's why we have the whiteboard.
We like mash and push and just like,
yeah. Usually.
Wedge and just like whatever we can get.
Yeah. Usually,
it gets weird sometimes.
Yeah, there, and you know, there's five different languages
exactly
in this band.
Well, that's what I'm curious.
Yeah,
about.
Yeah. So, is. I mean, Nate's the hardest to speak. Yeah. There's a couple of us who are fluent in Nate and can translate.
Right. It's like Swahili. It's very hard.
And, you know, and Sean generally is like writing some other riff on his guitar, and then we're like, Sean, you got it, and he's like, what are we doing? You're like, yep. Yeah, okay, here's what we're doing. He's like, okay, and then Sean's in. So usually it's like a debate between the three or four of us. You know, I don't know. Everybody's got input at some juncture. Yeah,
numbers of things.
Numbers are the big thing, like how everybody counts something can take.
Numbers. For,
no, it's two of yours and four of mine.
Mm-hmm. And I find that fascinating. That and how many
Yeah, how are you counting that?
How are you counting that?
That's definitely...
It's come to light this year that a lot of my natural riffs are in like 5/4 or something strange. And that explains why I've had trouble jamming with people for so long, I think.
You want to keep dragging them extra beat.
Oh, man. One thing I got to ask you guys, though. Have you been working on your music faces?
Howie.
You know what I mean?
Corey's music faces are, like, dialed right now. He's, like, fresh off tour with How the Wolves. So, like... Not only is his bass playing on point, but his face is on point.
Oh, I love it. Ooh. I love it when you were like ripping a tasty riff and you got that like, ooh, it's so nasty face on.
I got that. I can't even stop it from happening.
That's great.
What is it, Corey? Because I think the bass face is an important one.
Scrunched up nose.
Yeah.
But don't stick your lips. Don't like.
Not too much.
Yeah, it's like you're. Still, it's like you're hard sniffing the neck of your guitar in reverse.
Corey's also got like. Yeah. Corey's got the heel to toe forward backward rock.
Oh, that's
good. That's his move, you know?
Nice.
Yep.
I really wish I could undulate my entire body behind my guitar. Like.
And the guitar doesn't move.
Yeah, I just want it to be. Yeah, but you're doing it side to side. I want to do it like the other axis. I want to do it like a one of those
like
blow
a belly
up guys
dancer.
at a used car lot. That's what nice. I want.
Do you guys know who's got the best like metal face, rock guitar face in Portland? Fucking Shane from fucking Avi Day back in the day. He's in this band called Rotting Monolith now.
Yeah, Rotting Monolith.
Yeah, that dude. He does the fucking amazing shit. I mean, he's really feeling it. It's great.
It's difficult for an audio medium, but
I'm not even going to tell you about it. But you should
just
think about a cool metal face. And he's doing it, guys.
Yeah.
Real good.
I think I'll always fail at that. I just don't have that.
Yeah. Sean just smiles.
Yeah, I was saying, you and Ladina, you're like the two rockers I know that just are just happy to be on stage and just smiling.
I'm so
a good time.
Mean. Yeah. Let's do this.
What about you, Lindy? Have you got your. Because, you know, with just being a lead singer, there's a lot of responsibility for the performance.
Sure. And I definitely think about it, but then I don't think about it when I'm on stage. And I know all the pictures that come out of me or whatever in video I see, I look fucking evil sometimes. Just
that is true.
The faces that I'm making, and I get really... I make a lot of angry faces, which I don't really realize that I'm doing, but
passion.
You've got some good hand action too,
right? I get the hand action.
Yeah,
I get. Yeah. It's usually like emphatic, sort of proclamations.
Yeah,
and
it's like the end of Willow.
Right.
Oh, that's great.
But and I also feel like some of the songs on this album, I think Retreat of the Glaciers, there's a lot of topical things happening in the names of the songs and just like the lyrical content, and I'm probably going to be pretty angry when I sing some of them when the show.
That's exciting. Yeah. Everyone can see it March 9th as a reminder.
Was right.
Yeah, Corey, it is your time to shine. Tell us, what's the name of this song that you helped to foster?
Oh, I believe it's called Reefer Magnus and then Lonely Mountain in parentheses.
Yes.
I like it. Let's check it out.
Thank you.
I'm curious because so some version of this group has been playing music for like 11 years now.
Yeah.
This runs deep, and there's a lot of evolution that comes in that. And listening to the record, as I have recently, there's a lot of pieces from that history that pop up in different songs. And a lot of things have been merged together. But now you got this out of your system, and you're kind of starting from a clean slate. Like, what is the evolution of the sound going to be like? What are you guys going to be doing and sounding like moving forward? Has there been any thought given to that? Sean, you're a riff master. What direction is next for Man of the Cur?
You know, it just happens the way it happens. I mean, we've talked about wanting to go heavier. We've talked about wanting to go more experimental. I personally would love to try and using more effects and stuff, because all I really use is a wah, and that's about it.
Yeah, you should definitely get one of those death metal pedals.
Right?
I heard those are fucking gnarly. Oh, yeah.
One that goes to 11.
Yeah.
But, I mean, also, on this record, there's two or three songs that we have written just with this new lineup and that are all collaborative. So,
yeah.
I mean, I would say that this record is pretty representative of hopefully what we're going to continue to keep
Great.
Doing, which is just the input of these five people, you know?
Yeah.
I know you can't always help it, but would it be your preference to like stay in this pocket and be like the best version of what you are now? Or would you prefer to always be changing and evolving and doing something different?
But a polka band.
I think absolutely. Like, I mean, I would actually like if we get a little more psychedelic personally, and weird, but
I would like to see all of you guys take a lot more psychedelics. Yeah. I think it would make you all really like better people.
I think being in the hard, just, we're definitely more hard rock than like when, I mean, it's my 3-year anniversary with the guys, which is pretty awesome. And they were definitely heavier and doomier when I joined. And it's evolved. We're not so much metal or we're more hard rock. And I don't know what else is happening with that, but I like the thought of it just evolving naturally for sure.
Yeah. It could be anything.
Yeah. And you know, just the same way as this record was recorded, everybody just has their own sort of input on it. So no matter what we do, it's going to have the flavor of whoever's, you know, contributing to it.
Yeah.
If
I could put in my 2 cents, I'd say you should add a little bit of that sweet reggae music.
It's coming out. It's coming out. That's the remix. Nice.
Not going to happen.
Just think about it. Think about it.
Nope. It is not going to happen.
Scott version of Knocking on Heaven's Door on deck.
Yeah.
Not Irie with me, man.
That already exists. Yeah. That's a Dread Zeppelin.
I know that Nate wants to take it in that direction.
It's already in. It's already Prehistoric Bitch. I play a reggae beat on that.
Yeah.
I've been playing Funky Chunks quite often lately from our old band Ghost Mob.
Oh yeah.
Matt Harrington, actually, our friend Matt Harrington likes that album a lot and has been bringing it up. And I just love that song. So
I love that name.
Oh man.
Funky Chunks.
Yeah. It's a good
is that
riff.
A reference to vomit or something else?
It does sound like vomit. It does sound like something like nasty.
That was
like
a hard
nasty.
Time for everybody.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure.
Like, you know, like after a crazy night and then eat Fruit Loops next morning.
Well, as quite those a few be, songs.
Those would be real funky
group.
Chunks. All the milk curdled in it. Yeah.
Yeah, like, and like it still got the like the hamburger from like when you were shit-faced the night before mixed with the Fruit Loops.
You know Andy so well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is just like what I think.
It's possible.
And you also drank a bunch of red Kool-Aid, so everything's just like blood red.
It's like a waste of food.
That's some funky chunks right there.
Those are funky chunks.
And he ate a bunch of beets, too, so his shit is just streaked red.
Also, yeah, just red everywhere.
Who's cleaning that?
The funkiest milk chunks are when you have, you've eaten like Lucky Charms or something where it's like, it leaves your milk neon green and then you leave it in the sink.
Mm. Oh, the blue Slurpees.
The blue.
Oh.
Yeah. More like blue Jello.
Yeah.
After a long weekend.
Yeah.
I puked up a Shamrock Shake
on St. Patrick's Day.
It was
Yeah, I mean, pretty close to the holiday.
Every day up until and including St. Patrick's Day.
So are we sharing like puke stories? Because I got a good one, too.
We are.
Was it an off-season Shamrock Shake?
It was one he had saved in the freezer for...
He got it off Craigslist for $10.
Freebie section. Yeah.
It was like neon green though. It came back out and it was just like it was like a cartoon or something like that. Like the you were gonna like draw a cartoon of somebody throwing up. It's like the green vomit, right? It's this is like a Shamrock Shake is the perfect. It was amazing.
Did it sound like a normal vomit?
Yeah. No,
it was like bagpipes.
It was actually it was quite smooth. I threw up.
It filled the cup perfectly.
that is exactly what happened.
He didn't.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh damn! Sorry, Nate.
No puke was taken right from up. Or put into the universe. It was perfectly balanced.
How long did you hold it down for? Was it still cold coming back up?
I did a lot of. Drinking in between. So,
okay.
But it was the perfect amount. It just came right back.
An ice cold puke is really nice. Like when you've bonged a beer and it just is down the slide and back up.
Especially on a hot Indiana night, you know?
Yeah, man. It can be real refreshing. You just let one loose. I just call it like just draining the fucking the tank, you know? I was going to say draining the main vein, but that's just what we said on the last podcast. I'm just repeating jokes now.
Yeah,
it's happened. I'm just repeating jokes. You've heard in other episodes of Hot Garbage.
Oh, my God. I get a really good puke story. And
wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So when I was going to grad school and we'd work in our studio really late at night, I went to art school and I'd be, you know, be up till like 4 a.m. try to get shit done for your critique for the next day or whatever. And, there were many nights of like coffee and sugar, lots and lots of sugar. And I don't know if someone gave this to me or how I got it, but I had an entire bag of gummy bears, like a big one.
Oh, I vomited some gummy
bears. Haribos or Black Forest?
They were like the multicolored ones, so whatever. Okay. But they were really good. And nice. And then two rolls of sweet tarts, the big ones, like probably like, you know. And so I was just.
These are wild days.
I was just drinking water and eating all of that entire bag and all the sweet tarts. And you know how, like, when you drop, like, gummy bears in water, they expand?
Yeah.
Like, they get, like, all bloated and weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I got physically ill, really, really ill because I ate too much sugar. And then I puked it all up. And as I was puking, it was like rainbow. Rainbow flows of dismembered, bloated bodies and fluorescent colors, you know, decapitated and fucking dismembered and purple, red swirls all around them. And
Well, it's better than the sugar-free ones. Did you hear about what happened with those?
The what?
Yeah, that was a thing last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, the year before, the sugar-free Haribo gummy bears, if you ate like a handful of them or like more than you should eat, you'd get explosive diarrhea.
Bad.
Like, it was like, documented.
Threads about it, yeah.
That did not happen to me.
It was well documented, and they became hard to get because people were buying them to do YouTube videos about them, and they became a thing you couldn't find.
Nobody knew about Tide Pod yet, so we had to have Haribo bears.
Yeah. I'd watch a Haribo diarrhea video.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of them, I mean, a well-produced one, for sure.
Sure.
How's the lighting on that shit?
Good GoPro camera in the cam in the toilet there? Yeah.
Like a Cannonball Dookie with... you know, jet engines.
Cannonball
Dookie. I forgot about that.
For people who don't know, Cannonball Dookie is when people like run off a dock into or something into a body of water and they shit before they get into a cannonball shape and they force poop out before they hit the water.
I've seen people do it off of rope swings.
Rope swings.
I think I've done that on accident.
That's good, but probably. Wow, it's wonderful.
It's a fucking learned skill, I'm sure. You don't really just nail that first try.
I don't know how to do it. I don't even know where to start.
A boat.
Imagine that first try when you try and do it.
I think it starts with a couple of hamburgers and maybe a hot dog at the barbecue beforehand.
Some Taco Bell on your way out to the river.
Yeah.
See, we're just, this is like your song title just sparked this entire conversation.
Funky chunks.
Yeah. Funky chunks.
It's highbrow shit.
Well, speaking of diarrhea, Andy, I know you're about to kick out the opposite of diarrhea with the diarrhea, next song.
This is not that. Well,
this is definitely not diarrhea, but what kind of non-diarrhea is it?
I don't know. Let's give her a go. Let's just spin the dial. No, okay. This is something I've been listening to a lot lately. This is pretty good, and this is pretty great. It's from D.C. This is a rapper named JPEG Mafia. He goes by Peggy also. This album is fucking crazy. This is a song called Baby, I'm Bleeding, and this kind of reminds me of, like, Childish Gambino mixed with Death Grips. Yeah, it's crazy. So check this song out.
Peggy, where you been at? Getting all this promo. When it comes to money, bet these niggas is a no show. I've been out in Bed-Stuy, chilling with my feet up, laughing at these SoundCloud niggas try beat us. When I say us, bet I don't mean no fucking group. Peggy been a solo access, Looney Tunes and Goofy Truths. Catch me out in Barksdale, counting fettuccine. While you pussy crackers still try past PT. Ooh, I'm up in Brownsville, strapped with a Kimba. All you yuppie purses get swiped like Tinder. Now I'm at the White House, looking for your president. Hop up to Van, putting guns at your residence. Ooh, I'm up in Queens now, showing y'all a body. Hoping that you pussy ass try for me. Chains on my body, looking like a rapper. Acting like a slave when I'm gunning for my masters, nigga. Fuck these niggas. Fuck these niggas.
It's ironic you press for a cooking. It's ironic you talk jail time, but you ain't never seen no central booking.
Yeah.
It's ironic you hang with a nigga that beat women and have the nerve to call yourself girl pushing. Wow.
You ain't real. Gerard. I'll show y'all how I really feel.
White boy better put his hands up! I'm ready. And I'm getting wilder. Shout out to Deontay. Country niggas booming Peggy. I'm the new Beyonce. Devil on my entree. Cut like Dante. Promise I will never go blonde like Hold up. Promise I will never go blonde like Kanye. Got so many styles, they should call me Peggy AJ. When I hit the stage, niggas know it's a payday. Tell your bitch come here like I work for Midway, nigga.
Like fire.
So I have a question. So they're going to make a, let's pretend they're going to make a biopic of your band, of Man of the Cur. They're going to make the movie. They're all going to be like actors portraying you, but there's only going to be one like A-lister. Who would be the one A-lister and who would they play?
In the biopic?
In the biopic of Man of the Cur.
Andy Dick would play Nate.
You're gonna waste your A-lister on Andy Dick? He's a B-lister top.
You also get an A-lister.
Okay. You could also have an A-lister.
I don't think I would be the main character, though.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you could be. It could be the story told through your eyes.
Told through your eyes.
That'd probably be best.
Yeah, I don't know if Andy Dick could capture the soulful nuance.
Or would it be like Chris Hemsworth as Corey?
Oh, yeah. That'd be nice. Yeah,
he's got those ropey calves for short season.
Ooh,
yeah.
Corey always wears shorts for the listener out there.
Yeah, and Sean, they're shorts brothers.
Sean too.
Oh really? Have you always been short?
Sean rocks it sometimes.
Yeah. What about Stone Cold Steve Austin for this guy?
Yeah, that would be amazing.
That's good, Nate. That's good.
Jason Statham. Yeah, or Mr. Bean with a shaved head. Maybe that's not cool.
Chris Elliott, actually.
Chris Elliott.
Chris Elliott, yeah. There we go.
Cabin Boy.
Somebody else. Chris Elliott.
Yes. Yeah. I love that movie
or
so
Burl
much.
Burl Ives, but he's fucking dead.
Yeah. Burl Ives. Holy
yeah, just
shit.
A snowman from Rudolph the Red-Nosed
Silver
Reindeer.
Silver and gold.
Silver and gold. There it is.
That
movie's
pretty good.
Melinda, who would you pick? Helen Hunt, just go against type.
I know this sounds crazy, but I want like Dame Judi Dench.
Oh, yeah, I can see that for sure.
She'd be awesome. Yeah. This could be like the golden years. Like, so she's old and like telling the story.
Wait, so why am I here?
Yeah, I think I want to change mine to Kevin Spacey now. No.
I think that could actually be like Macaulay Culkin, maybe. That might be a good one.
Yeah.
If he like put his glasses on, cut his hair.
Yeah, like today.
Yeah, like right modern now, Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I would watch that movie.
Nice.
Maybe.
You do not.
Like maybe Owen Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I can see an Owen Wilson.
Yeah. And I want to be played by Anthony Anderson.
Wow.
Always. He's my favorite.
Who would play me?
I was trying to think of someone who would be good for you.
Jason Lee.
The Rock.
Yeah, like
can he grow a beard?
Yeah. Or
it's hard.
Yeah.
The guy who played Al Borland from Tool Time.
Richard Roundtree.
That's good. Yeah, that's good, Drew. Yeah.
Richard Roundtree.
Richard Roundtree. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll never be able to forget.
He has his own line of shaving accessories.
When I used to have long hair, I used to get Jack Black all the time.
Yeah. I could see some Jack Black in there.
Mm-hmm. I hated it at the time, but if I'm good, my other option is Tool Time.
I think you could get Richard Roundtree. I think I think he's available. Well, guys, I think we have time for one more tune. We have a couple of options. Did you guys come to a decision on what we'd like to go out on this evening?
Something a cappella.
Some doo-wop.
We're gonna do a round.
Yeah.
Let's play a ceremony track. So for people who don't know, Ceremony Sledge is an annual heavy music event that's been happening here in Portland for the last 7 years. Blaine actually has been instrumental in putting it together, kind of a co-founder. So it's awesome to have this available once a year. It's great that it's back at the Tonic Lounge this March 9th and 10th. And it's a great lineup. Let's play a little music from that lineup, Blaine. What's the other track that you brought to share this evening?
I'm excited to see this band, Glacial Fall. They're opening Our Night on Friday. This is one of the tracks off their EP that they just put out. So
fantastic. This is a little taste of Ceremony of Sludge, Volume 7. Well, Maine of the Cur, my dearest friends, we've got a head full of great tunes and a belly full of meat stick.
Got a lot of, yeah, thanks for catering this episode with these delicious fundraiser beef jerkies and chocolates, Sean.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely.
This has been delicious.
You're a testament to what a few dollars can do.
Really?
For a good cause and good friends.
I didn't know I could sober up on chocolate and beef sticks over the course of a podcast. So
tomorrow
I learned a few
fun.
Things.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know that they could turn a teriyaki bouillon cube into a piece of meat, a long stick of meat, but they can.
Just pound it out and they stretch it.
There are beef lips and assholes in that. You know?
Yeah,
mostly.
Only the best beef lips.
But you'd be surprised how delicious asshole meat is.
I'm pretty sure there's a Northwest cow beef lips and assholes. So,
So pucker up.
Yeah. Pucker.
Eat a local.
From both sides.
Eat local ass.
Eat local lips and assholes.
Eat local ass. I like that.
Eat local ass. Well, that's the
keep
episode
Portland
title.
Full of ass.
Stand behind it. Behind that.
Wow. Oh, what a perfect way to go out. I can't think of a better way.
Yeah, that's solid.
Maine of the Cur, your album Retreat of the Glaciers comes out March 9th. People can see it, experience it live at Ceremonious Ludge March 9th at Tonic Lounge here in Portland. Where else can they find the music and purchase it if they're interested?
Bandcamp for sure. I'm sure all of our records, two of our records are already up on Spotify and
correct
iTunes, all that stuff. So I'm sure this one will be up there as well very quickly. So, check it out. It'll be all over wherever you want to find
and
it.
And at the show, we will have cassettes on hand.
Limited edition.
Wonderful.
And download.
They feature artwork based on a physical piece of art that our own producer Nate made. So it's a beautiful looking tape
and it
sounds amazing. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for being on the show and having a good time with
Thank
us.
You.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you
for having
awesome.
Us.
As the Howls recede, I also want to thank our listeners out there. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We appreciate you dropping in each and every week. If you could do us a little favor, tell a friend. If you like the show,
tell a couple
let
of them
know. Let the people in your network know about us. It would be a big favor to us. If you're feeling frisky, also pop onto iTunes and leave us a comment so we can, you know, constructive criticism will help us get better.
Yeah,
right?
Help us help you. Basically.
And as long as that constructive criticism comes with 5 stars, people can follow that trail of breadcrumbs right to us.
Or if you like podcasts, but you also like looking at weird pictures on Instagram, you can check out Hurt Gerberge.
Hurt Gerberge on Instagram.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Spelled just like it sounds, and it's a barrel of laughs.
Yeah. Yeah. Come with me to the internet.
Can we find you on Vero, Andy?
No. I'm not on there yet.
Blaine's really been pushing Vero. He's the one guy in Vero waiting around for the show.
Find me.
Vero me, everybody.
Vero.
The future MySpace.
And if you want to Vero Nate, Andy, and I, you can do so the old-fashioned way with email by writing us at hotgarbagepodcast@gmail.com. That's H-A-U-T-E, garbage podcast. We would love to hear from you. Andy, why don't you take us on down that dusty trail?
Okay. Ooh. I will. I'm going to play you a track off of this band, Planet Dam. They're a Portland punk rock band that I like a lot. This is off their demo, and it's called No Fun. Find this on Bandcamp and listen to the shit out of it because it's good.
Absolutely. Well, for Maine of the Cur, for Andy.
Fucked it up.
And for Nate. We'll leave on that imperfect note.
Yes.
And we'll see you next week on Hot Garbage.